Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of John. From chapter 1, we'll read verses 29 through 42. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1511. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. John 1, 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him.' I did not know Jesus, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.' Again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, John said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard John speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, 'What do you see?' They said to him, 'Rabbi,' which is to say, when translated, 'Teacher,' 'where are you staying?' Jesus said to them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where Jesus was staying and remained with Jesus that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is translated, 'the Christ.' Now when he brought him to Jesus, when Jesus looked at him, he said, 'You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas,' which is translated, 'a stone.'" God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Shortly after, eight student nurses were murdered in a Chicago apartment on July the 13th, 1966. The lone survivor huddled with a police sketch artist and described in detail the killer that she had seen from her secret vantage point beneath the bed. Quickly, the drawing was flashed around the city to police officers, to hospitals, to transit stations, to the airport. Soon, an emergency room physician called detectives to say that he was treating a man who looked suspiciously like the flinty-eyed fugitive in the sketch. That's how police arrested a drifter named Richard Speck, who was convicted of the heinous slayings and ended up dying in prison 30 years later. Lee Strobel wrote about the incident in A Case for Christ. He asserts that eyewitness testimony and profile evidence can help in the quest for the truth about Jesus. Strobel, an avid atheist with a law degree from Yale Law School and experience as legal affairs editor of the Chicago Tribune, was prompted to re-examine the case for Christ by a modern-day testimony. It was the testimony of his wife. Strobel wrote, "Leslie stunned me in the autumn of 1979 by announcing that she had become a Christian. I rolled my eyes and braced for the worst, feeling like the victim of a bait-and-switch scam. I had married one Leslie, the fun Leslie, the risk-taking Leslie, and now I feared that she was going to turn into some sort of prude who would trade our upwardly mobile lifestyle for all-night prayer vigils and volunteer work and grimy soup kitchens. Instead, I was pleasantly surprised, even fascinated, by the fundamental changes in her character, her integrity, and her personal confidence. I wanted to get to what was at the bottom of what was prompting these subtle but significant shifts in my wife's attitudes, so I launched an all-out investigation into the facts concerning the case for Christianity." In our scripture reading today, we have the eyewitness testimony of John the Baptist. John was baptizing with water by the Jordan River. He was baptizing all who would repent from evil and turn toward God. One day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In his commentary on this verse, John MacArthur writes, "The use of a lamb for sacrifice was very familiar to Jews. A lamb was used as a sacrifice during Passover. Passover was the night in which the Jews prepared to leave the slavery of Egypt for the freedom of the Promised Land. Following God's instructions to Moses, a lamb was sacrificed, and its blood was placed upon the doorpost and the door lintel. From that time forward, Jews observed Passover. During Jesus' day, it was still observed with the sacrifice of a lamb for each family. Also in Isaiah 53:7, it talks about a lamb was led to the slaughter in the prophecies of Isaiah, and a lamb was offered in the daily sacrifices of Israel for the forgiveness of sins. Well, John the Baptist used this expression as a looking ahead reference to the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus on the cross to atone for the sins of the world. In this context, sin of the world had the connotation of humanity in general. Jesus had died for the sin of all humanity. John testifies that I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize said he would be revealed to Israel. And John said, he who sent me to baptize with water said, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and remaining upon Jesus. John said, I have seen and I have testified that this is the Son of God. John the Baptist was an eyewitness of Jesus. So was John, the disciple who was the author of this Bible book. Toward the end of the book, in chapter 20, verses 30 through 31, John wrote, truly Jesus did many signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name. Eyewitnesses, they knew Jesus, they heard his teachings, they saw him heal, feed thousands, even raise a couple of people from the dead. They saw Jesus cast out demons, calm storms, walk on water, and perform miracles and signs. Eyewitnesses saw Jesus crucified. They saw him buried in a tomb, but alive after his resurrection. There were eyewitnesses in Jesus' day who spoke of the changes in their life after knowing Jesus. There are eyewitnesses today who, like Lee's wife, Leslie, are changed after knowing Jesus. Eyewitness accounts gave credence to Jesus, who behaved as a son. He behaved like his heavenly Father, but it also supported John's assertion at the beginning of this book that Jesus was in the beginning and that Jesus is God. A spiritual God took on the form of humanity to come as one of us and live among us and die for us here on earth, yet be resurrected as God. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In addition to eyewitness testimony, Jesus fit the profile of the expected Messiah, the one that Jews awaited as their Savior. Sometimes we forget the Jewishness of Jesus. It's like the Old Testament gave us a fingerprint which matches Jesus perfectly. Though he had wandered far from his Jewish roots, in 1969, Louis Lapid's stock answer when a Christian brought up the name of Jesus was, I'm Jewish, I can't believe in Jesus. One day, a pastor on the Sunset Strip in California asked, do you know about the prophecies about the Messiah? Well, he was caught off guard in Lapid's questions. Prophecies, I've never heard of them. The minister startled him by referring to some of the Old Testament predictions. And Lapid thought, wait a minute, he's quoting my Jewish scriptures. Lapid refused to read the New Testament, but he did accept the minister's Bible and a challenge to read the Old Testament and asked the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to show him if Jesus is the Messiah. Well, over and over, Lapid came upon prophecies in the Old Testament, more than four dozen major predictions in all. Isaiah revealed the manner of the Messiah's birth, of a virgin, and Micah pinpointed the place of his birth, Bethlehem. Genesis and Jeremiah specified his ancestry, that he would be a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob from the tribe of Judah, the house of David. The Psalms foretold his betrayal, his accusation by false witnesses, and his manner of death, how he'd be pierced in his hands and his feet, and on and on. So with trepidation, Louis Lapid slowly turned to Matthew, the first book in the New Testament. He read Matthew's initial words, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. It was all fitting together. Was it possible that Jesus merely fulfilled the prophecies by accident? Not a chance. Someone did the math, and they figured out that the probability of just 8 of these prophecies being fulfilled by one person is 1 chance in 100 million billion. So if you took 100 million billion silver dollars, they would cover the state of Texas to a depth of 2 feet. And if you marked one silver dollar among them and then had a blindfolded person wander the whole state and bend down to pick up one coin, what would be the odds that he would choose the one that had been marked? The same odds that anyone in history could have fulfilled just 8 of the prophecies. 100 million billion. So convincing were the fulfilled prophecies that Louis Lapide started telling people that he thought Jesus was the Messiah. Now, at first, it was merely an intellectual possibility because he realized that if he were to accept that Jesus into his life, that he would have to make some significant changes in the way he was living. And at that time, he didn't understand that God would help him to make these changes. So eventually, Lapides was convinced by God that God exists, and he testified. One day out in the desert, I said, God, I accept Jesus into my life. I don't understand what I'm supposed to do with him, but I want him. I've pretty much made a mess of my life. I need you to change me. From that moment on, God began to change him in a process that continues, like it does with us all. His friends, his parents, his family could see the difference. For the first time, he felt whole. Through a remarkable string of circumstances, Lapide's prayer for a wife was answered when he met Deborah, who was also Jewish and a follower of Jesus. She took him to her church. It turned out that the pastor was the minister who many months earlier on Sunset Strip had challenged Lapides to read the Old Testament. They were both shocked. Remarkable string of circumstances. Our life is full of them. The Bible is full of remarkable circumstances. In our scripture reading today, John the Baptist is standing with two of his disciples when Jesus walks by, and John looks at Jesus and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Well, the two disciples heard Jesus speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and seeing them asked, "What do you see?" They said to Jesus, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" So Jesus said, "Come and see." They stayed with Jesus that day. One of those that heard John speak was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. When Andrew left Jesus, he first found his own brother Simon. He said, "We have found the Messiah." The Greek word for Messiah is Christ. Andrew brought Simon Peter to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at Andrew's brother, Jesus said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas." This is translated as stone. The Greek translation for Cephas is Petros, or Peter. Lee Strobel's personal investigation, which spanned more than 600 days and countless hours, brought him to his own verdict in the case for Christ. What does it mean for Jesus to be the Son of God? If Jesus is the Son of God, his teachings are more than just good ideas from a wise teacher. They are divine insights on which I can confidently build my life. If Jesus sets the standard for morality, I can now have an unwavering foundation for my choices and decisions rather than shifting sands of self. If Jesus did rise from the dead, he's still alive today and available for me to encounter on a personal basis. And if Jesus conquered death, he can open the door of eternal life for me. If Jesus had divine power, he has the supernatural ability to guide me and help me and transform me. If Jesus personally knows the pain and the loss of suffering, he can comfort and encourage me in the midst of it. Jesus warned that pain and suffering and loss is inevitable in a sinful world. If Jesus loves me, he has my best interest at heart. If Jesus is God, he rightfully deserves my allegiance, obedience, and worship. Strobel realized that he needed more than an intellectual decision. He opened his Bible to John 1:12, and he chose to experience Jesus, and he became a Christian. John 1:12, to all who received him, to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So believe that Jesus is the Son of God, plus receive the gift of Jesus' death and resurrection. for your sin and become a child of God, adopted through Jesus. Let us pray. Gracious God, I believe and receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Change me to become like Him. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.